Hi, it's No Crumbs Left, and I'm very excited to be sitting across from, you know her as Melissa, the neighbor, regular food tester. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you, Terry. I'm really excited to be here, and I love eating, so you picked a good food tester.
I love it. We met, let's talk a little bit about when we met and how we connected. Like, tell us a little bit about that story.
So my husband and two kids at the time moved to Roscoe Village about 10 years ago and built a house, and we were so excited about creating our life there on Roscoe Street, about six houses down from you. And it's a lovely block full of lovely human beings. And you all hosted a welcome to the neighborhood party for us shortly after you're looking at me like you're confused.
I don't remember. What a lovely freaking neighbor I am.
It was amazing. So all the people on our side of the block came out, and we were in some of the backyards, and you came over. We were in your neighbor's backyard, okay. And you came over, and we started talking immediately, and we figured out that our birthdays were within a week of each other, and then we were talking about relationships, and you asked what phase the moon was in when I was born.
Or it was like, what was your sun sign?
Yes. And we totally connected on this. Right. And I remember a friend of mine who Alex went to college with was walking by behind us and kind of just listening. And he's like, I've lived here for 10 years and I've never shared that many words with Terry Turner. So this is fascinating that you guys are talking about relationships and when you were born. And you're just, we really hit it off right off the bat.
I love it. I remember meeting you. And I mean, my life is full. So I kind of feel like my life is full.
Yes.
And I don't, this is before I was a blogger and had all these people following. And, you know, I have my circle of five and I'm comfortable with that. And I love that. And I'm, you know, I would say I extend myself to the broader world, but I keep my circle tight. Mm-hmm. So I'm not always, it's like I'm not looking for someone to sort of bowl me over and go, whatever, because I'm set.
Right.
You know,
right.
My kids have been through school. But I met you and it was like, it's like we're soul sisters.
Yes.
I mean, I just loved you instantly.
Right off the bat.
And it just, I feel like we've always been able to be, we're kind of both irreverent people just a little bit with like an odd sense of humor. So we're always able to be totally who we are.
Yes.
You know, and I feel like good, bad, or ugly. Like if I ran into you and I was really going through something, I could say to you, I'm really, you know.
Totally. And we've done that.
Yes.
I mean, I've been on your porch crying and,
you
know, just it's really nice to have somebody like you on the block and as a friend and be able to eat your food all the time,
I love
too.
It.
It's been great.
People ask, what's it like? As people all the time say, oh, is there a house on your block? I'd love to, you know, live near you.
Oh,
tell me a little bit, like, what's it like to be my neighbor and how does the food call come? And just tell us about that.
Well, there's always something going on at your house. So every time we walk by, we smell the food, we see the people coming in and out. It's very active. And I have three kids now, and we are all, you know, we're in different stages, but the teenagers love to eat too. And so Terry, you know, is cooking and we're walking by and we're smelling the food, and then the text comes, food now. So somebody runs over and picks it up, and then we come home. Oh, the food is ready. We pick it up. There are usually directions, either don't put it in the fridge, put it in the oven on low, eat this right now, whatever. It's very direct and it's very to the point. And then we go home and we eat the food and it's delicious. And then we send feedback.
I love that. Yes, and you absolutely do. And you've been a part of the freezer clean. Like, at least twice a year, I clean up my freezer. I mean, other than stocks, which I really don't often give away, I get a lot of product, and people send me things, and I'm all about repurposing and sharing and all of that. So where you might get a call, and what's it like when the freezer clean comes? Like, what do you get in that bag?
It's fantastic. So it's usually a bag of crazy, right? It's so it's so many things, and I'm unpacking. And always, I always have one of my kids always runs down to get it. So we always lose something in translation. So I'm always calling you or texting you, being like, okay, these tomatoes are what? And then there's three different cans of different tomatoes that have been frozen. And is this a sauce or are these just tomatoes or what are these? So you always are very gracious in walking us through what exactly it is that we're opening and devouring. And then you give directions. So you're like, and I know a little bit about cooking, but I don't have a ton of skills in the kitchen. So you're always like, okay, just put it all in a pot, add this, and then you've got a delicious sauce for Sunday night. Or you it's all right there, and you just happen to clean out your freezer, but I'm able to make a delicious meal out of it.
Yeah, and what I like is I really perceive that you are a good cook because I give you all of these sort of magic elixirs kind of sauces, and I think to myself, well, you're a good cook because you're going to know what to do and how to put it together. So I didn't actually know that about you. That's interesting.
No, I think I know how to do things and I can follow recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun with you because it's like, okay, let's figure this out. It's like getting a box of food from the CSA, a box of vegetables from the CSA, and you're like, what the hell is this? But okay, let's figure out what to do with it, right?
But so it's a lot of magic elixirs with that. Yes,
yes. Yeah, so it's lovely. Being Terry's neighbor is fantastic. You can ask anybody in my house and my siblings. Like everybody in my family, extended family, has all tried Terry's food.
It's so much fun.
We're all excited for you.
And one of the things that happens is when I text you or whatever, I'll say, because at that point you had two boys and now mm-hmm. you have Sloan, but I would say send the mad men down. Anyways, a lot of fun.
Yes, they love it.
I know we're going to talk a little bit about love languages, introverts, extroverts. Tell us about that. Let's get started on it.
So I was listening to you and Lucy talk last week, and you were talking about being an introverted extrovert, maybe, if you will. So you put yourself out to the world, but you have your circle of five. And that resonated with me so well because I feel like I have a big personality and I'm very welcoming with people. But I really, getting in a room full of people really gets to be a little, as I get older especially, it gets to be too much. And I don't get any, I feel like my energy is just seeping out of me. Whereas if I'm in a smaller space with people that I know and love and trust, I feel like I get so much, I'm fulfilled with that. So hearing you say that you feel like you're perceived to be this an extrovert, but you know you keep it pretty tight in terms of friends.
I definitely keep it pretty tight. Now it's interesting. I can go to an event with like 300 no crumbs left folks, yeah. and I'm fine.
Yeah.
But if I have to go to a dinner party, or if I have to go to a cocktail party at a friend's house or something, I hate that. And I often say, like, my friend John invited us to a Super Bowl party. And then it was like that night, it was like, we're not coming and we still love you a lot, So I don't love, like last night, John and Amy were like, we want to go out for Roy's birthday. It's coming up. And I was like, great. Like four people or six people feels perfect. Like absolutely perfect. But beyond that, unless it's like, Amy occasionally has these great dinners and I know everybody there and that's all my inner circle mm-hmm. and it's like magic and wonderful.
Yeah.
I almost don't go to parties or I come up for a very short period of time.
Yes.
How are you in that kind of situation?
Same. I don't have 300 followers. Yeah. So I don't find myself in situations like that. But we were at a school event last Saturday night. And there were probably 200 people in there, and it was a live auction fundraiser for school, and it was so loud in there. And it's you're there to raise money, but you're also there. It's a social event, right? You want to connect with people that you maybe haven't seen. It's been winter; everybody's hibernating. And After a while, I was like, you're just shouting at the person because it's so at people that you're trying to talk to, and it was so loud in there. And I worked my way over to Alex and said, my ears are bleeding. It's time to go.
Yes, of course. I remember those school auctions. You go. It's about looking great and having your wonderful outfit and talking to a few friends. And then you're just like, how do we get out of here?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we've been doing, my oldest is in eighth grade. So we've been doing this for many, many years now. And I remember watching the parents kind of fall off as their kids get older. And I totally get it now.
Yeah. My kids went to school. I was on the auction committee. I mean, before mm-hmm. I was a blogger, I did many things, but it was like I definitely kept myself busy, so I was on the auction committee. And what you realize is like the K through, five or something, all the parents come.
Yep.
But then when you get to, when you get to upper middle school, like, eighth grade, and you get to high school, seniors, they're like, they're not coming.
No.
Don't ask them. We might send you a check. Or we might not even.
We're out. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we're done.
Yes.
We're done.
It's interesting. The phases. It's just interesting how so much of what your kids are doing dictate how you react and where you're spending your energy, right? I feel like I'm spending a ton of my energy with focusing on my kids because they're at such different stages in life. So I don't feel like I have a ton of energy to put out into the world.
Yes. Right.
Did you feel like that when
Well, absolutely. And I think here's the thing about being a parent. I mean, you have this finite amount of time.
Right.
You're helping build these magnificent creatures. And I think that's wise, really, to say, I've got my kids, I've got my marriage. In your case, you've got your parents, you've got Alex's parents.
Right.
And, maybe your best friend. And, like, how can you concentrate on more than that? So I think you're making a really investment in your, in your marriage and in your kids. And what better gift is there to give yourself, your kids, the planet? So.
Yeah. Thanks.
I think it's good.
Good.
So love languages. First of all, I just, everyone that lives in the neighborhood and the people that I love and stuff, is like, I want them to come on the podcast. It's mostly like friends of Terry.
FOT?
Yes. It's like, if you're thinking about coming on, you're going to have to become a friend. But so I thought, oh, well, listen, I will talk about anything. But when you said, let's talk about love languages, I was absolutely delighted because I'm a total love language person, even though I don't really know anything about it. just I know sort of what mine are. So tell me about love languages.
So I came to love languages, gosh, my best friend from college was struggling in her marriage, and she was like, oh, well, this is why we're struggling. I went to go visit her once, and she was postpartum, and she was like, well, this is why we're struggling. And she started talking about love languages. And so there are five different love languages, right? Words of affirmation, quality time.
Okay, so these are the five languages that people
identify with, or show, or this is how you feel love. Or
this is how you feel love.
So it's good to understand your love languages and your partner's love language, right? So that you can figure out how to connect,
yes.
I would say.
So what's the first one?
First one is words of affirmation.
So that's people affirming you, saying thank you so much, or they love you.
Yes, you're so beautiful, you're so great. Quality time.
Quality time.
So that's pretty self-explanatory. We all love that. Mm-hmm. So what I struggle with the love languages is that I want more than one, right?
Of course.
I feel, so you kind of straddle them. Receiving gifts. Mm-hmm. So some people are big. Alex shows love by giving gifts, and it's just interesting, right, to think about this. Acts of service, so doing chores, cleaning the house, painting the house, doing stuff. That's a love language, and then physical touch. So so my college roommate and I were talking about these different love languages, and that's kind of how I came to this. And it's really interesting because I also I'm an adjunct at DeVry University and teach critical thinking and problem solving, which is all about communication and how you best communicate, and how you work in teams, and how you work in groups. And the love languages started to play into this, right? So when you're talking about group work, and you're working in a group for 15 weeks, sometimes you can you have to understand what people are. What motivates people that you're working with. So the love language kind of comes into play in many different areas of your life, not just with the people that you love and your family and your immediate people, but it also comes into play with people you work with and people you're teaching and how you're working, how you're communicating.
I mean, it's always whether it's Enneagram, whether it's astrology, it's these ways of going, who am I?
Yes.
Who is somebody else? Mm-hmm. And what, makes us work together or not? And what can we learn by knowing these things?
So,
and the thing about the love languages is anybody can go online. You can figure out how to do it. You can take a test. It's free.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to do. And it's fun to do, with other people.
Yes.
So what do you think yours are?
So I am a quality time acts of service, right?
Me too.
Shocker.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? What does acts of service mean to you?
Like, just let's do stuff together. Yeah. We can't just sit around here. Right. Let's do a project together, mm-hmm. and let's work on that. Or you work on this and I'll work on that. It doesn't always have to be together, but we both just, that contribution piece that we're both working towards the same thing.
Right.
Really speaks to me.
Right.
How about you? What does it mean for
you? I would say, well, acts of service too, I've got people that work for me. So to the extent that for me, when someone's helping me figure something out, that is absolutely my love language. But I mean, I would say my primary love language has been spending time together. If I'm going to, I would rather hang out, Lucy and I would rather hang out, lay in bed for a weekend, watch shows together, be together, that's what I would really like to do the best.
Yes.
But I would say acts of service, which are, I have a lot I do. I have a lot I need to do. I have so much I need to get done. So the fact that, Zach is always responding to my love language where he's helping me with something, where I feel such love for Zach. But it's interesting. And also acts of service in that, you see all the giveaways and stuff I do.
Yeah.
Paying it forward. All of those things are really important to me. So it's actually something I also really like to do is to be involved in someone's project. If I know a friend has a project, I want to be a part of it. I want to shout them out. I want to, I want to be a part of that movement.
Right.
Or if it's, I get five pants from Ballerini, I want to pass them along. That's interesting.
Yeah. And you're a connector, right? Don't you
totally.
Think you're – so that's part – I mean, so it's nice that you're using these connections to pay it forward and to spread, spread joy and spread love and also brands to people that are in your orbit.
Totally. I mean, one of my favorite brands, and I always crack the joke that it's a love language, is Spindrift. I mean, I absolutely love it. I love that it's water. Oh my God, it's sparkling water and real fruit. Anyways, I love it, and it's a love language for me. So lucky when I get to do that. But the cranberry is the very favorite.
It's delicious. I like grapefruit. I think, isn't Zach's favorite grapefruit?
Zach really likes grapefruit. Mm-hmm. Lucy really likes the orange mango. So we love it. That's my love language.
What is Roy's love language?
I would say Roy's love language is, in many ways, it's the same thing.
Okay.
Like, he, for him, it's about spending time. Mm-hmm. For him, you know, for me, him, it's about me turning off my phone and spending time. He loves to have a lovely meal. He loves mm-hmm. to have a conversation. He's such a gentleman. Mm-hmm. He loves all those acts of civility.
Yeah.
And I would say when he's doing something lovely for me, he wants to do something for me. Like, he wants to, like, wash my car or not really, but he's like, you don't understand. Sometimes a man just wants to wash your car.
Yes.
Like, he wants to come over and fix something. He wants to do something, and that is definitely a way that he expresses love.
Okay.
So it's perfect.
Yes.
Because it's the way I like to receive.
Yes.
What about your hubby?
So Alex is a big gift. He likes to be thoughtful about giving gifts, which mm-hmm. is very sweet. And physical touch. Like every night before he goes to bed, he has to have a back scratch.
And you do it. I mean, that's the best part.
That's
of the
easy,
whole thing.
Right? I can do a back scratch. I think it's interesting that there are five love languages, and to think of just putting somebody into one, I think is kind of impossible. Right?
Yeah, totally. Because I think you have a wing of something else.
Yeah, and you're always in different phases of your life, and I think they change as life changes too.
Yeah. So tell me about where are you at in your life right now? I mean, you've got two out the door, not out the door, but they're in school every day. You've got a baby at home. Just share with us a little bit about, like, what I have so many people that follow that are mothers, and what's that journey like for you?
So I'm at a interesting point in my mothering in that I have a 14-year-old, which came as a surprise. Teenage years, I wasn't fully prepared for. I felt like I kind of knew what I was doing for a while. And then I got a teenager. So I have a 14-year-old, and I have an almost 12-year-old, and I have a 4.5-year-old. So two boys and a girl. The youngest is a girl. And it's so it's interesting. I feel like you have kids, and you spend so much time nurturing them and babying them to an extent, and then they go to school, and you're helping them to become fully functioning human beings, right? And be self-sufficient and confident and interesting and critical thinkers and all these things. And then they turn into teenagers, and they don't want to have anything to do with you.
Right.
And that has been such a smack in the face to me. And it's been it's really every day is a struggle just to try to figure out, because I really, really miss that connection. And I know that he's an incredible human being, but it's really hard to not be able to connect with that on a day-to-day basis anymore.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I see tears well up in your eye and in your eyes. And I get it, because, you know, I've been through some rough, in the high school years, you know, for Patrick and I were, I think you remember.
I remember you blowing your horn in the garage.
Oh my God. Really, when I think about it, it's maybe the toughest time in my life. But somehow you get through.
All of high school? 4 years of that? Or does it get better?
I think, here's the thing. I mean, every child is different. And, like, it wasn't hard in eighth grade, but it was particularly hard in high school.
Okay.
And, you know, Lucy and I had less difficult years in high school.
Okay.
But the reality is you change, you morph, you know, because you still keep pushing in, because even if they go, Mom, leave me alone, they want that. And you have such an authentic, real connection with your kids. I know that. So here's the thing. We know it's there.
Right.
And is it the same with your husband, or is it different?
It's different. Mm-hmm. They have a connection, but theirs is more physical, I would say. So he coaches the boys especially. He coaches their basketball teams and basketball games, and they play tennis together, and they work out together, and they do those things together, which I think is excellent as they get older, and there was less talking, and so there's more of a physical connection. But mm-hmm. I think boundaries piece is I'm home all the time.
Yes.
I'm the one that's managing boundaries and setting expectations, and you know the buck stops here. So it gets Alex always has my back, but I think I'm the front line of what's happening.
Yeah. And I think that often happens. That's why I asked, because a lot of times, and I think especially for boys, they remain close mm-hmm. in some ways to the dad, and the mom really feels the brunt of it. But of course you've had this, you know, big runway up to being really, really close.
Yeah.
And then you know, I think in some ways, not being an expert on it, it's the beginning of the letting go process. And you know, I mean, you come close and let go, and you come close and you let go 150 times.
Right.
But it is part of that natural process. And in some ways, what's worse is if your child doesn't separate. You know,
right.
For me, my mom died. So it's
all right, separate.
Yeah. And that's what it took. It's like, okay, she's dead. We're going to separate.
Okay.
So I think that, you know, sometimes that all of that's just so normal. But it doesn't change that it's, you know, hard for us.
Right. It's true. Sloane's been she's a breath of fresh air.
Yes. Well, 4.5.
Delightful.
Looks just like you.
Yes. Wants to snuggle and read books. Yeah.
I love that. So
it's a good distraction, but it's definitely not easy.
But I think you just keep putting yourself up to the plate, and there probably are moments that there is, you know, is there like something you guys can do together, a ticket you can get or something
yes,
they want to do?
And, yes. Yeah. And we do stuff. I also think having the younger one is like, okay, she comes to all your basketball games and your track meets and does all these things. So now we're all going to go and do this because we're going to go see Madagascar the Musical because she's going to love it and you're going to like it too. And it's going to be great. So. Yeah. It's been, you know, it's good. It's easy to complain about, but it's the best thing that I've ever done, and it's really good. Yeah.
It's our finest work, for sure.
Oh, yes.
So what's next for you? I mean, and are you working just part-time now?
That's a good question. So I'm an adjunct.
What does an adjunct mean?
Part-time. Okay. Right now, enrollment is down, so the full-time faculty are getting the pick of the litter, if you will, in the class times. So I have not taught in a year because I've got Sloane goes to school 2 hours a day and I've not just the timing hasn't worked. So I'm trying to figure out what's next for me. I'd like to. So I teach critical thinking and problem solving, and my partner Teresa is the woman who hired me. So she and I are hoping to take Critical Thinking Partners, which is an LLC that we've created, out into the world and help work with organizations on how to have your staff communicate and work well together and put their phones down and just engage and think through problems, because it seems like there's an issue with people communicating and understanding how to communicate and how important it is, and it both externally and then internally too. You have to be able to work in groups.
So what are some of the premises of critical thinking? And when you're teaching critical thinking to youth, or what are some of the, you know, 1, 2, 3 points?
Yeah, it's tough. Right. So critical thinking itself can't be taught, right? A lot of us are born with it. But the main component of it is communicating and being able to communicate, right? So like listening and hearing are two different things, right? We all hear. We're born hearing, but you have to choose to listen, right? So it's pulling. And this class that I taught was for freshmen, so it was the first class that you took when you came to DeVry. So it was it is great in that you're helping kids who may have never talked about critical thinking and listening and communication, kind of tune into that so that they're better able to take that, because you do a lot of group work in college, but then also in life. I think everybody works in teams and in groups anymore. So it's about communicating. It's about understanding how you best receive information, right? Are you a visual learner or an auditory learner, or you have to feel things to learn, whatever. And it's about I also think, you know, putting people in groups and sending them out into the world to do something is a really eye-opening experience, both individually and as a group. So I always would have these kids do a random act of kindness. And so they'd go out into the neighborhood and they would have to do something, be it, you know, helping load groceries or giving out food to homeless people or whatever. But they have to work together, and they, you know, you have to figure out how to deal with conflict, and you have to butt heads and get through it. And you ultimately are going out and you're doing something really good, and that feels really good. So it's this incredible course, because it helps kids kind of better understand themselves and figure out how they're going to get along better in life, in their communities.
And when you say, tell me, take it through, what is a visual learner? Tell me the different learners and what that means.
So sometimes you can be reading something but not necessarily sinking in, or watching something, right? So do you have to hear it, or do you have to read it, or do you learn by touching something, like playing game? Like a lot of younger kids learn through touch, kinesthetic learning. Mm-hmm. So it's just better understanding. And a lot of people don't know what kind of learner they are. I am a visual learner, so I can hear a lot of things, but if I really want to learn something, I need to read it.
Yeah, I'm like the opposite. Okay. I need to sort of hear it.
Okay.
Like, for example, if something's on a computer and it's like on a spreadsheet, it doesn't make any sense to me. I have to absolutely print it out to look at something.
Okay.
But I sort of like to do it through talking and then having someone talk it back to me.
Okay.
And I would say more by touch.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
With the cooking. So auditory and tactile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But yeah, the visual is not. I could never learn by just watching someone do it. I have to actually do it.
Yeah.
Or I have to hear it.
That
like sometimes
makes sense.
We're working on something, and then I've written it or whatever, and then Zach has to read it back to me, and then from that place I can totally get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about your kids? What kind of learners are they?
Gosh, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, Sloan, I would say, learns through touch. George also learns through touch. He's my 12-year-old, almost 12-year-old. And Charlie is very much, I would say, a visual learner. So he will immerse himself. He's a prolific reader, and he'll immerse himself in anything and read it and figure it out that way.
And how do these tools help you in mothering?
They do. It's fun to sit back and think about this and talk about this, because I think when you're in mothering, you're not necessarily thinking about how you're mothering. Mm-hmm. But when you take a step back and think about it, all of these things are so important in helping to connect with kids and helping to understand the best way to connect with kids and get through to them.
Right.
I find that my oldest will write a letter when he can't express himself without losing his cool. So he'll write a letter, and then he'll want me to write a letter back. And I'm like, well, we're not pen pals. let's try talking about this, and we'll try talking about it. But oftentimes we best communicate when I write down what I, you know, my response to him.
Oh, I think that makes so all the sense in the world. We're a text generation.
Yeah.
And I actually think that when parents are sort of willing to do it that way, they get a lot more. I get so much more, I always have, from Lucy or from Patrick by text.
Really?
Because they might be able to share something that's intimate, and it might be overwhelming to sort of share mm-hmm. if they text it to me. It was always that way with Lucy, and I think it's that way with Patrick too.
Interesting.
So I think of it as like a real plus, because I think here's a way by writing that I am going to get so much more from them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Than anything else.
Yeah.
How do you do it? How do you keep it all together? How do you balance it with like the kids and the dog and your husband and he's traveling and the, you know,
yeah,
and all these kids at different ages and all the activities?
Lots
and
of support. Lots of support. I think
point on that.
I think I have a, you know, you talk about your five, and I think I have a great community of people who I can lean on. And you know, my brother lives next door, which
nice.
Is lovely. Yes,
yeah.
He's also a neighbor, but he's moving out in the next couple of months. And my other brother lives in Logan Square. So I think I have a lot of family nearby. And then, as you know, my parents and Alex's parents are always visiting. His parents mm-hmm. just left this morning. So I feel like I have a system that I go through. And in fact, I think about it sometimes, like if I were to get hit by a bus, I don't know that anybody, because I'm so, it's kind of like a chaos of disorganization that I'm able to manage it, function through it. If somebody were to come in and try to figure it out, it would be a disaster. So,
yes.
Just need to watch out for buses.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the case for me too. It's interesting. Our blog's been down and it's going to be back up. But it's just like we realize how reliant we are on all of these tools and technology. And,
yes,
you know, I mean, Zach went to Mexico recently. I'm like, don't let anything happen to you. Because, like, what would I do?
Right.
You know, he virtually does all of the blog stuff and makes it so easy and wonderful and possible for me.
Yeah.
So.
How did you guys find each other?
Zach is been a dear friend. He worked for a friend of mine managing his office.
Okay.
It was like the same thing. We instantly connect, just love each other so much. And when my friend was closing his chiropractic office, I said to Roy, who at that point had a different business, I said, you absolutely have to hire Zach. He may not understand about your business, but he's really good people.
Yep.
He's unbelievably smart, and anything you need, you can teach
him. He'll figure it out.
And so he worked for Roy for a period of time, and then we sort of shared him. Zach worked for me part-time sort of before I had no crumbs left, and he worked for Roy. So maybe he worked for me like 10 hours a week, just sort of handling stuff for me.
Yeah.
And then when Roy sold his business, there was a period where, you know, Zach really came to work with me, and I said, why don't we really give this thing? You know, I've been doing this thing at no crumbs left. Why don't we just give it all we've got? And I could give you a guarantee for a year. And so we, you know, we're both doers, and we just have given it 150%, and we're just equal, total hard workers, totally go all in. And I think we both really work quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we started, and I mean, there are things like when we started the blog, we didn't even know that, you know, oh, you should actually come over here and do the blog, because when we started, we had like five people showing up. So, you know, it's just what happens is you're always flying beyond your skis.
Mm-hmm.
My book's coming out, and I did a acknowledgement to Zach, and one of the things was we're always, you know, flying beyond our skis, and thank God we are.
Yeah.
But you know, we're always sort of doing things way beyond our ability, and he's, you know, it's so great because he never ever leads with fear. And when I want to do all this, when I just want to go, let's do this and let's do that and let's do, he never says, well, no, or it can't. Like we're really, really good together, and he's a very, very good critical thinker. So, He doesn't come on the podcast. It's not his thing. He's an introvert.
Yeah.
He doesn't like it when I put him on the stories. I mean, the other day I put him on a post.
I saw. The tone with tomatoes.
He didn't want to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
He didn't want to do it. But I'm like, Zach, people want to see it. It would really be
so
fun.
He's so cute. Yeah. I love his face.
Oh, he's like the greatest person in the world. I mean, whether you're a man or a woman, everyone's attracted to Zach. I mean, all the time.
Yes.
I have, like, women reach out, and I'll be like, he's playing for the other team. So, no.
But you're right. He is gorgeous.
Yes. He's got someone, and it's an absolute no.
But funny.
Zach, he's one of the best people you're ever going to meet.
Yeah, I know. He's wonderful.
And we vacation together. We're, you know, we go to California. We can work from anywhere. We might be going to Mexico. And it's like, you know what? We can just work from wherever we are. It's like, you know, we'll work at 6-hour days and we'll be on a balcony. But, you know, and then at 4 o'clock we'll get in the pool and have a cocktail.
Yeah.
And so it's been fun because he's like a soul brother for me. Mm-hmm. I love him with, like, my whole every depth of my being.
Yeah.
And, you know. We actually lived together. The funny thing
That's amazing.
You know what I mean?
I know. It's
so
nice.
When the kids were, you know, Lucy was going to be leaving and all of that, he was in some transition and he stayed with me and we kept recommitting for 3 months. And then I just was like, God, I hope you don't ever leave because he's family for
me. Yeah, he is. You know? I remember that. I remember when Lucy left and that was a tough phase, tough time.
It really is.
And I remember Zach was a bright spot.
He remains one.
Spot.
Yeah. And he's thankful because I leave most nights to stay at Roy's, and he's just so thankful because he's just like, get me away from her. You know, it's an intense. As Roy likes to say, you're a strong cup of coffee, but I like a strong cup of coffee.
It's true. No, you've done a good job of kind of cultivating those relationships. Like, you see a spark and you see something, you see that connection with someone and you kind of just pull them in, and you have this nurturing ability to be able to kind of just you bring us into your orbit, and it's just such a lovely place to be. And you're so honest and give. I always feel like I come to you with stuff and you're just like, okay, listen, this too shall pass and you're going to be fine, and just take a deep breath and, you know, just give good advice.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's appreciative, and you've been doing this for a little bit longer than I have. So I really do appreciate your insight.
It's nice. It's actually nice to have people. I know for myself, I don't have a mother. So to have other women that I can go to, I mean, to get that mothering energy, you know, to, you know, brainstorm. It's wonderful to have women for me in your life who are much, much younger and much, much older, you know, and I have all of it. And then I have these followers that are sort of like, you know, 24 to 34 or 20 to 30 who kind of think of me as like a second mom. And I it's actually really nice for me because, you know, the thing about mothering is it's very in a circle. So I've been mothered pretty much from the best mother ever, as far as I'm concerned. And so my ability to give love is great because of the love and light she really, you know, shined down on me. And we loved being in my mother's orbit, just like orbiting around her. So it's interesting that now that I have people that orbit around me.
Yeah.
And I do. I have always taken people on, taken people in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I might have talked about this before, but I have a revolving door in terms of people living with me. You know, from friends who've going through something to my nephew to a friend whose house is being redone to friends that stay. So
it's hard to keep it straight. Are those people robbing her or are they living with her? What's happening now?
No, but here's the thing. We always have someone there. Oh. So when we travel or anything, there's no worry because there's no shortage of people who want to come to the No Crumbs Left boarding house.
So true.
And we don't take care of anybody. It's like you're here.
Yeah.
You do your thing.
Yeah.
You come and go.
Yeah.
I mean, we make food every day. You're welcome to eat. But it's like I'm not going to take anybody on like that.
I'm not your concierge. Yes.
I'm not your concierge. Yes. Figure it all out.
Yes.
But I've had each of my nephews live with me for a brief period of time, one for a year and one for a few months. And it was like really a wonderful way to get to know them in a different way. And, you know, I've a niece that lives in New York that I, you know, get to see a lot because through social media, we're really, you know, we're kind of in the same world.
Oh, interesting.
And you know, when I go to town or I have an event, she always wants to be my plus one. And
cute. Yeah. That's sweet.
Family's good, isn't it?
It is so good. Yeah. It's so good. And it's so important. I always think back. I always think back as to why my brothers and I are really tight. And when we grew up, we had a ski house up in North. I grew up in Michigan, and so in Northern Michigan. So every Friday night, my parents would come home. We'd all get in the van. We'd drive 5 hours up to the ski house. There was no television. There was no phone. So we literally would eat, ski, and play games for the whole weekend, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, half day Sunday, and then we drive home on Sunday nights. And that had, I think about how exhausted I am as a mother, and that had to have been a huge lift for both of my parents to do that. But it was the best thing that they could have done because I think we're so tight, our whole family.
Well, at what point did anyone say, I'm not going anymore? I mean, I love this story. Yeah.
So I'm the oldest, and then so I graduated and went off to college, and Kevin, my middle brother, got into wrestling, and that is like Saturday and Sunday in a gym. So at that point, they were like, all right, we gotta kind of
so
move
you
on
mean
from here.
This all through high school this happened?
All through junior high, all through high school, yeah.
And did you ever once say to your mom, I mean, I love this story,
yeah.
We had a summer house, my sister's, like really a cabin, literally. And my sisters, at a certain point, they just stopped going, but I didn't. And we owned it with another family. And my friend Susan and I would go with the parents, but my sisters stopped going.
Oh, yep. That was never an option for us. We had to. It was a command performance.
Right.
But it was skiing, right? So it was the we loved skiing. So it was the best to be able to have that, right? So I think I'm constantly trying to figure out things to do as a family that we can all do together that's physical. Because I think that physical piece kind of – in my opinion, it bonded us together. So I'm always trying to figure that out with our family, which is...
I think that's... Oh, I love... And I love knowing that about your mother. It makes me really even admire her
more.
Yeah,
she's a badass. Yeah. And that's one of my parents' favorite places to stay is at Terry's house. They stayed at your house one Christmas.
Before I was blogging and I had whatever. I mean, yes. Melissa's always like, if they want it, you know, you want someone to stay.
Yeah, I've got stragglers, always.
I love it. Yeah. What do you think of this idea of chosen family? Do you feel like you have people that are chosen family?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's...
Like,
that's
who's
what we do.
Chosen family for you?
Oh, gosh. I think some of our neighbors, some of the Gaddises across the street, are chosen family. I think that we all look out for each other and their kids and stuff. And I've got some good friends from that. It's interesting. I've got good friends from kind of one or two friends from each of my kids' grades that have kind of become chosen family. And then also friends from college, too. I'm in a weird place right now just because I think my kids are at such different ages. I think I'm more focused on high school. I've got one going into high school and one going into kindergarten, so I'm trying to figure out schools for them. So a lot of my communication with people is about I'm doing more research than actually connection with with my peers. But I feel like I've got a handful of five or six gal pals and a couple of guys that I really go to help guide as I'm going, you know, trying to figure things out. And then, of course, you know, chosen family and then also family. I lean on them a lot.
Yeah, well, you really are close to your family.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, chosen family, too. Just people that I absolutely love that are, they just legitimately are family for me. You know, friends I've had for a really long time and that we've seen each other through. And for me, that's really important is that there's the family you're born into, which is lovely. And then you can choose family. And, you know, for some people, like you, you're born into this amazing family, me too.
Yeah.
And we have that, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But I also think for people who don't, the reality is you can find, just because no one taught you that, you can absolutely, 100% sure, and I'm not even kidding, create it in your own life.
Absolutely. And they don't have to be people like you, right? A lot of times your family tends, you know, you have similar backgrounds and ethics and things like that, whereas I feel like your chosen family, everybody's different, right?
Yep.
Everybody represents different areas of life, and it's so lovely. Oh, I also have, two great sisters-in-law, which is nice.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yes, so, yeah. Which is great, I think.
Yeah.
That could be a disaster.
Yes. It's really nice. It's nice when it works that way. Well, Melissa, thank you so much.
We're done?
I wanted to take the curtain back and say, first of all, I want to give you something that I think you're going to like. It's a
Terry.
No crumbs left personalized apron.
I love it.
And
absolutely
don't put it in the dryer. That's
it's
all
got
I can
my
say.
Name
to
on it. What happens? Does it shrink into
it
a doll size?
And this is lovely. You know, we look at this apron. It's very, very
it's
lovely.
So sweet. Yeah. I love it.
I actually,
thank you.
The aprons happened because friends made it for me for my birthday. I loved it so much. Then we ended up doing it. And people are like, why do you have this expensive apron? And I'm like, because I have these crazy friends that like to do that. But it's a, you know, it's a big quality item. So
I love it. Thank you so much.
Love you.
Nice.
Feel so
you
lucky that you're my neighbor. Like, I just feel really, really lucky. My mom happened upon Mary Torgerson all those years ago, and they were neighbors forever. And I feel like just when I met you, it was like, oh my God, we're like,
yeah, we got this.
Yeah. So
yes, it's so nice. And I'm so glad. I was nervous when Lucy went off to college. I was like, she better not move. So I'm really glad that you're here.
No, and people ask me all the time, are you going to move? And I'm like, absolutely not. This is my home. I love it. And I'm not going anywhere.
I'm so glad.
I'll visit, but that's it. So.
Well, thank you for having me. And thank you for being so good to me and my family. I appreciate you.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. And you guys come find me over at No Crumbs Left on Instagram, on the blog, on Facebook. Everybody have a great day.